Good morning, we're continuing with Hayodim, the Klal Samach Vav, Simon Vav, and we left off saying that the Hayodim, that we from the Achiezer and the Imri Bina, that the lack of Melechus Machshavos does not remove the Halacha Gisha of Sviya B'Yadayim on Melechus Shabbos. The one exception is when it comes to Psik Reisha. So the scenario which we gave was that when the child is toggling the switch, that's considered a maisa. The fact that he's lacking the awareness of what the maisa is doing does not take away the status of the melechus Shabbos from the maisa. By psik reisha, the maisa itself is permitted. The person's opening a refrigerator door, it's causing a light to go on. So the maisa of opening a refrigerator door is not something which is inherently usur. It's only usur because the fact that it causes another result. And therefore, it has a din of davar. Normally, it's called davar sheni miskaven. It should be mutter. It's called the equivalent of mechavein because of this the inevitability of the result. There's a shailah nachrenim. What's the logic behind that? One says that since it's inevitable, therefore we assume that the person has an awareness of it, and therefore it's as if there'd be mechavein for the second action as well. So that doesn't apply to a child. He's being mechavein to do ma'isa A, which is totally mutter. He has no awareness of ma'isa B. So you can't argue the concept of psik reisha in regards to a child. So this is different than the scenario which we gave before where the maisa is intrinsically usur. Here the maisa is intrinsically mutter. It's only usur because of the kavana which is added, which the child does not have. So if the whole isur is only due to the kavana, not that the maisa itself is inherently usur, if the whole maisa is due to the kavana, the child does not have that kavana, so there Shlomo Zalman says there's no isur of Svi B'Yadayim. There is another explanation in how psik reisha works, which would theoretically apply to a child as well. But apparently Shlomo Zalman is following this explanation as a primary explanation, and therefore he's mounted that scenario. Okay, the Chayyadim moves on to a scenario of Hilchus Tumas Kahanim. So the mother who is pregnant has to take into consideration the possibility that the fetus is a boy, and there's an isser for a kohen to be metame himself. So we should argue that the mother who's pregnant, who's not aware whether the child in her womb is a boy or a girl, if she's married to a kohen, the child might be a kohen, she should be ushered to walk into Ohel HaMeis, thereby being metame this kohen. So the Chayyadim says that it's permitted. And the reason why it's permitted in halacha is because it acts has a heter of a sveika. We do not know whether it's a boy or a girl. And even if it's a boy, we do not know whether the child is viable, or the child is going to actually survive. So the roiv tells us that this is not a child which we have to be concerned about. That heter would not apply if the mother knows the gender of the child. She knows that the child is a boy, so there's no sveika anymore in the situation. And then arguably, it should be usher for her to enter into Ohel HaMeis. So it means we're looking at the child as being distinct and as separate from the mother. And the child is a kohen. The child is a kohen even before he is born. He has the status of a kohen. And you're being metama a kohen. There's an issue to be metama a kohen. Because of this, is that correct to look at the child as being distinct from the mother, and therefore we have an issue of tumas kahanim? Or do we argue, true, the mother is going to become tamei, but as much as we're saying that the child is distinct from the mother, and therefore he's a kohen, so the mother became tamei, but who said the child became tamei? Does the tumah of the mother extend to the child? So it's a concept of halacha called tahara beluya, that you have something which is tor, which is totally absorbed into the body. So the tahara beluya does not become tamei. So an animal swallows a kli. The animal's alive and walks into Ohel HaMeis. The kli remains tor because the kli is absorbed in the animal. The animal leaves Ohel HaMeis and then eventually subsequently relieves himself, and the kli comes out. It's a ring or something of that sort, let's say, which could come out. That kli is tor. Even though it was an Ohel HaMeis, it's a tahara belua. It's tor, and it's totally swallowed. totally absorbed inside of the animal. So why do we look at the situation different than that? Now, over there, the animal has no din of Kabbalah's tumah. The animal remains tor. But do we apply the concept of tahara b'luya to the mother when the mother herself becomes tamei? So this is going to be a machlokes on the Achronim. And therefore, some Achronim argue that we have at least that other swara to be matter the mother to go to Olam Hayis. So the mother needs to go to the hospital, even though, let's say, there's a mace right now in the hospital, and potentially there's a problem of oil and mace in the hospital. The mother's allowed to go to the hospital for the tzarek of going to be able to, let's say, give birth or some other need, relying on this argument of Tahara B'luya, or relying on the argument of Sveik Sveiku. Let's say the mother has no need to go to the hospital, and she knows that there's a mace there, she should not go. She should avoid that situation unless there's a need to be in that situation. So we're going to be rely on this because there's some need why we have to do this. But assuming that there's no need, a person should avoid that situation. Have a good day.